This government shutdown is different. Government shutdowns happen for like a really dumb, weird reason, which is that there's like no way to do anything anymore. And so one of the only opportunities for there to be power exercised by Congress is during the passing of a budget. And so budgets become these big fights. But in the US, when the federal government shuts down, it's because of a political standoff. You need people from the other party to vote for the budget, and the other party says no, and we can't fund the government without a budget, so the government shuts down. It's a political standoff. One side wants to do it one way, the other side wants to do it the other way, and the government becomes the collateral damage in a tug of war over policy. And nobody wants this. It happens, and it often has a bunch of dramatic speeches, and people scramble to fund the programs that matter the most in the meantime. But this one has gone on for a very long time. But also, there's like a reason underneath why it's gone on for such a long time. And also why a lot of the most important programs of the federal government aren't being funded. So Democrats are trying to be like laser focused on this single specific demand that the government still provides healthcare subsidies, because if that stopped, a lot of people's healthcare premiums would more than double. And for sure, the Republican Party doesn't want to do that. But also, to be totally honest, it seems a little bit like some parts of the Republican Party like that the government is shut down. And so there's like an asymmetric leverage thing going on here where the Democrats really want one thing changed and they really want the government to come back, and the Republicans don't want that one thing changed and they kind of don't want the government to come back. Now, I think that the government will eventually come back. This is very dumb. But it's weird that it seems like some people are like kind of pro shutdown, because shutdowns are deeply unpopular. They cost way more money than they save. They hurt real people. They hurt politicians. They hurt political parties. I was talking to a friend of mine that helps run an organization that helps people get food, and I asked her if this shutdown felt different to her. And she said something that like snapped me out of my analytical politics brain for a second. She immediately answered, "Yeah. This one feels mean. It feels intentionally cruel." It definitely feels intentionally intentional. Like, you might not be surprised to hear that ICE is still funded during the shutdown. But you might actually be surprised to hear that SNAP has been funded during previous government shutdowns, which indicates to me that it can be. It just isn't right now. SNAP helps feed over 40 million Americans. That's more than 10% of America every month. It is efficient. It's targeted. It does a tremendous amount of good for a relatively small amount of money. More than 80% of SNAP recipients are households with children. In every previous shutdown, SNAP has been protected. And this time, the benefits are just gone. Starting November 1st, people on SNAP are no longer getting help with their groceries. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, which runs SNAP, actually has billions of dollars in contingency funds that they could use to keep SNAP going for at least another month. They've done that in previous shutdowns, but they're not doing it in this one. And I think the only person who could have made that decision is the person who has consolidated so much of this country's power around him. The USDA could fund SNAP. Governors could fund SNAP with state funds. Congress could fund SNAP with an emergency measure. And there is a faction in American politics right now that is especially aligned with the Trump wing of the GOP that doesn't just want to cut government. They fundamentally distrust it. They see large parts of it, especially social programs like SNAP, not as a solution, but as a problem. Still, other parts of the government are a deep state, an unelected bureaucracy that opposes their power. And if you believe that, then obviously a government shutdown would look to you like maybe a bit of a good thing and maybe an opportunity. When talking about whether federal workers would receive back pay, Trump said, "There are some people that don't deserve to be taken care of." He has selectively suspended infrastructure spending, targeting only blue states. And in that vacuum, we ask food banks and volunteers and nonprofits and churches to step in, which they do heroically. But from what I have heard from people who I've talked to in this space, they simply will not be able to fill that gap. And of course, the communities with the least are going to be the ones with the least capacity to bridge that gap. Cutting off SNAP hurts the whole country. It hurts retailers, farmers, grocery stores. It pulls money out of local economies. This is very bad. SNAP costs about $100 million a year, but it would cost way more than that to replace it because it's a very efficient program. And to some people, I think that feels a little off. Like, it might seem like this should be local. It should be community-based. It should be local food banks. It should be churches. It should be Meals on Wheels. Maybe they should be doing all of this work instead of some big, giant federal government bureaucracy. But the more I talked to my friend about this, the more I felt like, oh my God, SNAP is actually a really amazing program. And I also realized, you know what? You know a lot more about this than I do. And she honestly, unsurprisingly, dropped everything and was like, yes, I will come and talk to you on the record. So everybody, here is Jeannie Hunter, Tennessee Regional Director of the Society of St. Andrew. I have told people what you told me when I asked you if this shutdown feels different, but I, just in case I was putting words in your mouth, does this shutdown feel different?
It does. It feels a lot meaner. It feels like they're playing chicken with people's lives.
Because, and I did not know this until you told me, but SNAP has in previous shutdowns been funded.
Yes.
And do you feel as if it that could have happened at this time?
Oh, it could, absolutely could have, yes.
What are some of the mechanisms by which it could be funded?
The USDA has the money to put out there. It's often just kind of a contingency thing that's like, we're not going to fund the government except SNAP. And they just, for whatever reason, didn't do that this time. And also, it's not usually this long. A shutdown isn't usually this long, so it doesn't hit the new month.
I have gone into a bit of a few of the reasons why I feel like the shutdown is extra long, but it feels a little bit like, you know, a lot of people don't seem to think that the government is good anyway.
Right.
And so why would the government being shut down be bad?
Do you want me to answer that?
Okay. No. Good. Jeannie and I go way back. And I, just so you know, Jeannie, you can say whatever you want as long as it's not going to get you in trouble.
Okay.
Jeannie, so tell me what you do. What is the Society of St. Andrew?
It was founded by some folks that thought they could end hunger by starting a farm. They realized very quickly in talking to other farmers that there's all this food going to waste. It's just not pretty enough. It's like, you know, got weird colors, or it's crooked, or it's not crooked enough, it's a banana, all these things, like it has to be just a very precise. And so there's tons and tons of food going to waste at that level. And so we, Society of St. Andrew, started collecting that food and sharing that with folks that could prepare it into meals or hand it out to families who need it. Lots of food pantries. We try to stay local.
And so you're at farms sometimes, you're at grocery stores sometimes, you're at
processing. Yeah, sometimes we're out in the field and picking what's left behind after the original harvest has happened. Sometimes we're at processing plants where all the pretty sweet potatoes are on one side and all the ugly sweet potatoes are on the other side, and we take the ugly ones with us because they're just the same. Sometimes we have some grocery stores, normally the mom and pop kind of independent grocery stores. Mm.
Yeah. That's very cool. Good work. And so you know a little bit about how food works in America. SNAP is the thing that am I correct? It is the largest way in which people who need food assistance get food assistance?
Yes, by a long shot. For every one meal that is delivered to someone by a food bank or food pantry or whatever, 9 meals are donated through SNAP.
Oh, God. So that makes by that panics SNAP. Me. That makes me panicked. That gave me a panic.
I'm sorry.
Because that's not like, that might seem like, okay, so we have to spend 9 times more money on the food pantries, but that's not it. Like that.
No, because you need 9 times as many employees and 9 times as many trucks and
9 times as much space for the food and 9 times
refrigeration. Mm-hmm.
Like that's the thing about SNAP. It's almost like here's an idea.
It's incredibly efficient.
Like we've already got a whole system for storing and distributing food. What if people who needed food assistance could just tap directly into that system with a card that they had, and they could take it to the place, and it had almost like a bunch of people had this really good idea, and then they implemented it, and then it works quietly behind the scenes, helping out
so well.
Tens of millions of people, like most of which are households with children or children.
Or elderly, yep.
It's such an amazing example of like what happens with not a tremendous outlay of cash and quietly and efficiently. Because of course, if you have to have a food, like, and food pantries are good, and I'm glad that they exist, and they serve all kinds of amazing stopgap functions. And like, obviously right now, they're going to be very important. Yep. But like just allowing people to go and buy food in the normal way that everybody else does is the most efficient way to do it. So if we had to do this a different way with a separate set of infrastructure, it would cost way more money.
It would cost way more money. It would be nearly impossible. People in rural parts aren't near food banks and food pantries sometimes. There's transportation issues. Getting a bus even to get to the grocery store is nearly impossible for some people. And if you're already at a financial place where you need SNAP, you're also at a financial place where it's going to be real expensive to buy gas and pay car insurance or whatever else it is.
You've just explained to me exactly why food pantries and churches and local organizations would have a really hard time sort of solving this problem. Because it's nine times bigger than what those organizations are currently doing. We're going to have to do it anyway in the meantime. So like as of now, as of the recording of this, SNAP has not gone out to people who would normally.
Right. And normally it just goes right on their debit card, on their EBT card.
Yeah.
And it's just a process that happens every month. And so the last time that these people have received money for food was October 1st. Mm-hmm. So not only are they not going to get more money, they're already out of last month's money for the most part. I mean, people have been planning ahead the best they can, but there's only so far that that money can go.
I'm sure that I know the answer to this question, but like how are the people in your industry handling this right now? Like what's the sort of mood? What's the...
It's panicky. I'm anxious. They're mostly anxious. There's still some part of me that like hopes and believes that this is all just a bad dream and a joke. And like Ashton Kutcher is going to jump out from somewhere and be like, gotcha. And this isn't real. Yeah. Right now we're just trying to rally as much food and as many volunteers. I spent all day yesterday calling and texting and emailing farmers to try and see if we can get out into any fields, but it's already the time of year where a lot of that food is already gone.
So let's do it early. What are, if like Catherine and I are looking at our, you know, charitable giving and we're like, okay, let's move some stuff forward that maybe we were going to do next year. Let's do it now. What would be the best spends for us? What would be the best spends for people watching?
Right now, the best bet is going to be the Feeding America food pantries. They're mostly funded by the federal government, but they also do a lot of fundraising on their own. So they're nonprofits and government entities kind of at the same time. They are the biggest and probably most efficient. Most smaller food pantries buy food from the Feeding America food banks.
So some states have passed, their governments have passed some bridge funding.
Right.
So that is a thing that can happen. Apparently Louisiana has done it.
Yeah, Virginia has. I think California did like a partial amount for 2 weeks worth. There's definitely a lot of options. A lot of people are saying it's not possible for whatever law in their state or whatever. Mm. But you know what? We elected you to be a leader, not somebody that's just going to sit around and be like, oh, I can't do that. So I have no patience for that.
I can tell. And I'm glad that you don't. Is there any pattern here? Are there some states that are having a harder time passing bridging funding for any particular reason? Well, you made a face like there is a pattern that
of course
I,
there is. And okay. Of course it's my party. And
oh, okay. It's party based. Gotcha.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
But I mean, even Virginia, they have a Republican governor. So I don't know. Yeah. Some people, honestly, it's chicken shits versus not.
It's chicken shits versus not. You heard it here first, everybody.
It's people who are too scared to rock the boat versus people who are worried about the health of the people in their district.
Gotcha. One thing that is happening here is that SNAP is becoming visible, in which it is in a world where it is usually invisible.
That's true.
And that is making me appreciate it for the first time in a long time. Like I just kind of don't think about it because it is just a system that works.
Yeah.
I think that so much of the things that we do as a country are invisible. It just reminds me that the number of times when we've like hit a problem and been like, okay, like let's do a solution. And then that solution just sort of fades into the background.
Yeah. Because it's working.
Super freaked out by this question.
Okay.
But what does it look like if this goes on for another month?
If this goes on for another month, that means people aren't going to get their EBT cards. They're not going to get money put on their EBT cards on November 1st tomorrow. And they're not going to get money put on their EBT cards December 1st. So that's, and remember the last time they got money on their EBT cards was October 1st. So we're coming up to the holidays. First of all, kids are going to be out of school during that time. And so they're not having the lunch meals that they would normally have. It's bad. I mean, and it'll be winter. So there's not a whole lot of extra out in the fields for people, at that time of year anyway. So it's scary. At the same time, there's an economic impact to everybody that would normally be shopping at grocery stores isn't going to be shopping at grocery stores with their EBT funds.
Mm-hmm.
How many people is that not spending money at the grocery store? So that affects the food industry, which also then affects the farmers. So it's a big cycle.
I mean, or they're spending money at the grocery store that they're not spending on heating, or they're spending money at the grocery store that they're not spending on gas.
Yeah,
or
they're making horrible choices like medicine or food and rent or food. And that's just an excruciatingly stressful way to live. I think everybody's kind of like, no, this won't really happen. There's some denial.
I will put myself in that camp. I was okay, well, like SNAP's not going to happen, but like we're going to get there before we hit the first.
Right. Surely.
But now we're here. No. So what we're going to get in the meantime is probably going to be like a lot of overlapping, inefficient.
Yeah. A lot of people are going to step up, I hope, which is wonderful. It will be here and there. It'll be slapdash. It'll be, it'll leave some places.
Not covered. Yeah.
Not covered. And it'll leave other places overwhelmed with stuff. It just, where the money goes and where the resources are as far as volunteers and, again, refrigeration, transportation, all of that kind of stuff. That's what's going
to
happen.
It's so frustrating about this is that like my brain goes to problem solving and it's like, okay. And what it hits is like there isn't a way to get all of this done because there are some people who are far away from food pantries. There are some people that live in places where the food pantries are not going to be well enough stocked. Like it's, they're like the solution is for there to be money on the EBT cards.
That's the solution. It's been the best solution for decades. Yep.
So there will be these billion little things and we also have to do them and they are also not going
to
be.
We still have to do them or else. Yeah. Yeah. We have to do everything we can in the meantime and it's not going to connect the dots as well as SNAP functioning appropriately would connect the dots.
Here's a little theory I have, Janie.
Uh-oh.
We don't understand how many Americans there are.
That is true.
There's just a lot of us.
There are a lot of Americans.
And we kind of think that it's like the like we can't get our heads around it. We can't get our heads around, like, in order to feed 40 million people, it costs a lot of money. It costs $100 billion a year. And getting to $100 billion a year, the only way to do it is with a little bit of tax revenue.
A little bit.
But if you get a little bit of tax revenue per person, and there's a lot of taxpayers, then you can do it.
Yep. That's how it works.
It's so good.
It really is the best way. And I think also you said people don't know how big America is. People also assume that everybody else in America looks like them. And I don't mean like racially or whatever, but like that they have the same background and the same kind of, they don't have any imagination about what it's like to not have those resources or to live in a place that is completely culturally different, even though it's still in America and doesn't have, you know, any of the other safety net stuff that people have. So there's just very little empathy because there's not a lot of imagination there.
Sometimes we think that a person who is on SNAP right now has been on SNAP forever and will be on SNAP forever, but a person who was on SNAP once doesn't really count as one of these people. And like 10% of Americans, more than 10% of Americans are on SNAP right now, but like more than 20% of Americans have been on SNAP. Busting in real quick here, there's a study, a likelihood of using food stamps during the adulthood years, that showed that between the ages of 20 and 65, around half of Americans will at some point in that period be in a household that uses SNAP. If you are an American, it is slightly more likely that you will be on SNAP at some point in your life than not. Which goes to show, I think, two things. Number one, it's totally normal to get these benefits and you should never feel weird about it, whether you're going to a food bank once or using SNAP for years. And number two, these systems are really good and they're really helpful. And I hope that they are popular. And I'm not even going to look it up because if it's not, I'm going to lose hope. Okay, back to the conversation with Jeannie. Already that system was fraying because food prices go up faster than SNAP benefits have. And also with the government shutdown, people who were applying for SNAP aren't getting it.
All of the funding that was cut to food banks and food pantries earlier in the year. And then you have all the people that were fired from the government earlier in the year and throughout the year. And then you add on the people who aren't getting paid because they work for the government now. And then you take away all the SNAP funding and it's just, it's bad.
Well, we know the problem and we do not know the solution, but we know what to do, which is that there's going to be a billion little things. And even
there's
though
there's going to be a billion little things,
the whole problem, they are going to solve
a person's problem.
Should be, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Go to your local food bank, go to your local food pantry, grow stuff if you want to, if you can, if it's that time of year for you.
Like, should I go to like a big, big cheap grocery store and buy a bunch of stuff and bring it to the pantry?
Yeah, absolutely. To your food bank. And they, so the food bank system has its issues, but it is still the most efficient, second most efficient after SNAP way of getting people fed. They know where the food, the smaller food pantries are. They know each food pantry's capabilities as far as storage or whatever. They, they can handle large loads and large donations by distributing them to a bunch of their smaller people, or smaller partners. You can be any size human and get food.
Yeah. So, so the best, so honestly, probably the best thing is cash gifts to
cash is good. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cash is probably best. That's what most of the things that I'm seeing from food banks are asking for. If you have food, an excess of food, like you're a prepper or something, and you want to donate that, that's also fine, of course, but money is a lot easier for them to handle at this point.
Well, thank you for the work that you do. And if you'd like to support the Society of St. Andrew, you can do that because they do great work taking food that already exists and otherwise is going to either go get into landfills or get eaten by some livestock somewhere. And is that one of the things that happens?
That's one of the best things that can happen to it, honestly. Yeah, sometimes it'll end up in landfills. That's the worst thing that can happen to it. And other times it will be just plowed in, which that's a whole nother topic about soil science and that we can talk about another day.
You know a lot of stuff.
I know some things.
Well, Jeannie, it's always a pleasure to see you, and I can't wait till we get to hang out the next time again. If people want to learn more about your organization work, should they go?
Endhunger.org.
Oh, that's
Society
easy.
Of St. Andrew is at endhunger.org. Yep, very easy website.
Nice. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Probably a cash donation to them also couldn't hurt. This is what I get from making a video about the news. You may have heard, and hope if you haven't, here's the news, that a judge has said that they have to release the funds. So the funds are there, and they can continue to fund SNAP, and so they must, according to a federal judge. The New York Times headline about this says, "Uncertainty persists for Americans waiting for monthly food stamps." So do we know if the funds are going to show up on people's cards? The government has said, oh, we don't have enough to do the whole month. And President Trump said that the administration would provide the funding for food stamps in November once a federal court could clarify how we can legally supply the money, but indicated that a delay nonetheless would be inevitable. And we have no idea what's going on. We seem to never have any idea what's going on anymore. Critics say that the benefits were endangered because the Trump administration was unwilling to draw upon reserves that had been set aside to fund SNAP during emergencies. And considering how previous shutdowns have gone, that seems correct to me. The Trump administration has said that there are legal obstacles and technical hurdles standing in the way of its ability to deploy the funds. A judge from the U.S. District Court of the District for Massachusetts expressed skepticism about that. So it seems a little like we don't know whether they're going to release the funds or whether they're going to pretend like they can't. Also, Jeannie asked me to add this because it can be confusing. WIC, which is for pregnant mothers and like babies under five, that is unaffected by this, and those benefits will continue to happen. The need remains desperate, and even if funding comes through, that contingency funding may dry up because, again, this shutdown seems different. And the other piece of news this morning is that Speaker Mike Johnson has, again, postponed a vote on whether to reopen the government. I mean, I didn't quite get to this in the intro, and now it's the morning, and so I... How am I gonna be more articulate about it now? But I just think that there is some reason why we can't do anything anymore. Like, what is actually different about this shutdown? Like, from as unbiased a perspective as I can see it, is that no one would get rewarded for capitulating to the other. Like, I, as a Democrat, I'm like, don't capitulate to these people. They are centralizing power around a guy. They do not listen to the law. ICE has become like President Trump's personal police force, which is very not how America should work. There's a constitution which has separation of powers because it's a good idea and we're ignoring it. And so why would I want my party to capitulate? Why would I want them to say, yeah, this budget as written is I guess fine. We just need this thing to open back up. Or should we fight for something? And if it's something, it should be the healthcare subsidies. But then what incentives do the Republicans have for giving in? Nothing. President Trump says he sees this shutdown as an opportunity. Everybody knows that if you cross President Trump, there's a really good chance that you're going to get primaried, and that's going to be miserable, and you might lose. It's like they want nothing to work. It's like they want people to lose faith in the whole system, because if you lose faith in the system, then maybe one man can fix it. I know that a lot of people don't see it that way, but it just feels exactly like manipulative boyfriend behavior. Like, I have to destroy your relationship with everything so that all power can flow through me. And I really hope that this blows up not just in, like, the sort of MAGA sphere's face, but in everybody's face. Because there are reasons why it's like this, and if those reasons change, this country could be way better. That would be way less stressful for everybody, and also better at solving problems. I think there's a bunch of different things. I think there's a bunch of different things all stacked up on each other right now. And it's everything from the way the algorithms of social media platforms work. It's gerrymandering. It's cable news. It's the intensity of the sort of deregulated, market-driven way that our attention economy works. So there's a reason why the government shutdown is different. And that's because Republicans and Democrats, like, no one benefits from like working together. But there are also reasons why that reason exists. And I would love to hear from you out there what you think the reasons why that reason exists are. I have my thoughts. I've given you a few of them. But that I think is the thing that we need to be going after. And I think that a big part of it is the misery machine. You know, it is the misery business that is so much of social media and so much of cable news and so much of the news media. Haley Williams, man, she knows what she's talking about. Okay. Regardless, people are not getting their benefits. If you are a person who needs support or if you are a person who can give support, there are some links in the description.